Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. Sean Ross Epp. It is January 27th, 2025. It's Royal Rumble week. I am headed to Indianapolis later this week. Just got back from a tourism trip from Las Vegas that the board brought me out for, brought Denise, brought some WrestleZone people out, brought, I think, Bleacher Report people out, got to see some cool stuff. I'll tell you more about that later on this week, maybe on Wednesday with Jimmy. But I'm here with my friend Ibu. I'm going to get into a Raw review after this. It's been a week. And listen, there's going to be a bunch of people that are watching this. They're like, what the hell are you all talking about? Like, that doesn't register for them or anything like that. But listen, if you've seen it on Twitter and all over the place, there are definitely things that Ibu wanted to address, that I wanted to address, and kind of give you guys a how and why and explain some things. I honestly thought Ibu handled things incredibly well on the Wrestle Purists stream last night. Like, I listened to it. I have talked to Ibu all throughout the weekend. And I'll sort of let Ibu explain the how and what exactly happened and what will happen for at least a while here on Fightful.
All right. Well, thank you, Sean. Thank you for having me. Thank you for giving me this platform to do this and speak to your audience, the Fightful audience, about the situation. This is a platform that I have been given that I know isn't one. One that I should ever take for granted, because this is a seat that Denise Salcedo really built up and got to this point, you know, and it doesn't just go to anybody, and you weren't going to just give it to anybody. So me being on here in general was a gigantic endorsement and vote of confidence, one that to this day I'm forever grateful for. So folks, whether you're aware or not, or maybe you've seen certain posts on the internet, I was involved in something really, really wrong and destructive throughout the course of last week. I launched, along with three other people, I run a Discord. It launched at the end of 2024, called the Self-Made Discord. And it's a Discord where we offer some of the content that I produce, but beyond some of the content, watch-alongs, there was scoops being sold, and like one of the selling points were scoops inside the Discord. Among other things, we let you guys recommend matches, so on and so forth. I'm not saying that to sell my Discord now. I'm just explaining that was the Discord. And one of the things that took place that was really, really wrong was about a little over two Sundays ago now, Sean. There was a day where we were talking to the people in the Discord in a voice chat, and we engaged in gossip. The question was asked into the Discord to basically tell some old dramatic wrestling stories, fights, crazy situations, so on and so forth. And what ended up taking place over the next few hours was the disclosure of a lot of private situations, private scenarios, so on and so forth. And the truth of the matter is, it was just dead wrong to do any of this, because a lot of these stories were told to me among the people talking in confidence. And it was wrong for me to then give this out to people. And as I'm doing it, the mindset is this is a private conversation and this will never leave here. First of all, that was stupid because that nothing is private, especially in this space. So that was stupid. But even if it was, it's wrong for me to pass that around irresponsibly regardless. So that was a big problem. And throughout the course of the last week, a lot of clips leaked surfacing from that night with among like a slew of the various stories told in there, just things levied on certain people, some of which were very defamatory. And whether I was directly responsible for any of those, for some of those comments or not, I enabled every single one of them by being in attendance for all of this and allowing it to take place. So the reason why I want to be on here now is this really snowballed and I got a lot of deserved heat for the entire situation. And I spent my Thursday and Friday reaching out to people, many of which in AEW, about my culpability in the situation, trying to take accountability and apologizing for it.
Which I do want to verify. By the time I was even aware of what was going on, I was reaching out to these people and they had told me that Ibu had already reached out to them to do the right thing as well.
Right. So I spent my entire Thursday and Friday doing that because I should have, because I was dead wrong. It was very, very, like I said, irresponsible for me to take part in this. And I was doing so, and a lot of people were very unhappy with me. A lot of people were very disappointed in me. A lot of people were outright disturbed by some of the things that I was involved with, because it wasn't just this. It was also the fact that a tweet that I made 4 months ago on the day of All In about a talent that was very personal and very disrespectful. I made a joking post that was just, again, it was completely out of line. And even though I deleted it, everything lives forever on the internet. And that was very disrespectful. And there was contact with that individual. And there was a misunderstanding because of how the overture was made for me. But the bottom line is this. In the last 4 days, Sean, I've been communicating with a lot of these people that I affected. And to be completely transparent with you guys, many of them are still very unhappy with me. I'm not entitled to anybody's forgiveness. It's not on me to expect anybody to forgive me. There were some people I was able to shake hands with, but there's many people who were just, again, it will never, like, the relationship will never be repaired or what it was prior. And that's a consequence that I have to accept given the situation I put myself in. So I'm on air, frankly, to own up to that, to apologize publicly again to all of those people, but also apologize to the audience, because there are many people who are watching this that believed in me and saw me as someone to be respected in this community. And I betrayed that belief and that trust. So I'm apologizing to the audience. But one person that I feel like I haven't apologized enough to is the person standing. Sorry.
I've got a standing desk. I can stand.
Shit, if you want to. But the person standing right next to me, Sean Rossap, is someone I haven't apologized enough to, because the truth of the matter is, whether you like me or hate me, and you're entitled to feel whatever you want about me, this is a situation with me, not with Sean, not with Fightful. And yet, Sean Rossap spent his entire vacation having to answer on my behalf. And that just was not fair to him. Sean had to answer and field questions about me, about what I said, about the validity of it, about whether this came from a Fightful platform, so on and so forth. And that just was not fair. And I should never be somebody that damages the credibility or the integrity of Fightful. So I apologize to Sean about that, but I also just felt terrible in general because, like I said, I'm dead wrong. And so first and foremost, beyond anything, beyond any backlash or anything, I have to just hold myself accountable for being wrong. Like I said, this is a great company. This is a great platform. This is one that you worked so hard, Sean, to establish a level of credibility for, right? And for me, someone that you respected, partially because of how I handled the dissemination of information, for me to then irresponsibly, in some of those cases, or some of those stories that leaked, irresponsibly tell single-sourced information, single-source stories in that Discord and just throw it around frivolously. That's just not how I do things publicly, so why should I do them privately? But beyond that, that's not how anyone at FIFA would ever handle anything. So I apologize to Sean, and beyond all of that, the way I look at it is I do not want to be a distraction for anybody, let alone the person standing next to me, who's literally standing this time, I think.
I am standing.
And so after numerous conversations with Sean and with a bunch of people, ultimately what I decided was I don't want to be somebody who is a black cloud over anybody's content or anybody's brand. And I don't want to put myself in a situation where there are people who want to watch Sean Ross Sapp. There are people that want to watch the Raw post show that are just uncomfortable because Sean is doing that show with somebody that they're not happy with. And I don't want to do that to the audience. So this is going to be, I guess, breaking news, so to speak. But I am stepping down from my position on the Raw review. I'm stepping down from my spot on the Raw post show because to me, it's the only thing that I should do. It's the right thing to do. It's what I think needs to happen. I spoke to Sean about it. And everybody understands why this is going the way it's going. And as unfortunate as it is for me, I can't be mad at anybody but myself because I created the situation. And so because I created the situation, it's up to me to rectify it. And like I said, I've been doing my best to reach out to everybody that I affected, and I will continue to do so. And while doing that, in the process, I will continue to rethink my place on this platform of wrestling Twitter when it comes to media and all of that. So a lot of reflecting to do, a lot of thinking on that end. But beyond anything, I'm just going to try to be better and more responsible. And I thank you, Sean, for bringing me on here. You know, it's only been like 7-6 weeks, but I really didn't mean to let you down. I really didn't.
And I do want to address, people are saying, is this a break or permanently? I am not going to sit here and say I'm not going to work with Eboo again, because as I had said to him, and I don't like to I don't like to give like advice to anybody, because I mean, man, you all see my social media conduct plenty, and I'm going to address some of the stuff that happened last week momentarily as well. This is nothing you can't come back from, and you can either let it define you or you can grow from it. Like, I did some stuff on social media a couple months ago that I'm deeply ashamed of and bothered that I participated in. But like, you address it, you own up to it, you get better. And I brought you onto the show because I knew how good you were at it. I met you in person at AEW Grand Slam, and I saw firsthand your love and excitement for pro wrestling, coupled with how talented you are beyond as an analyst, your ability to develop contacts and procure information. And I'll say this, I had a lot of people saying last week, well, why haven't you confirmed or denied any of these stories? Well, there's some of them that are not the type of business that I report on to begin with. Like, and I honestly don't want anybody I'm associated with also doing that, because there is a line in which I get to determine whether we cross or not, because I run Fightful. But there were also a number of stories that, quite frankly, I know you all didn't make up. You were told it by somebody, but they're the type of stories that if I, like, and I did ask people involved, they are not going to drag it up again if it's in the rear view for them, because a lot of it was, you know, conflict
two
in
years
nature.
Ago. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're not going to, there's not going to be a lot of benefit in saying those things. Now, I mean, listen, a lot of this started, and I had a lot of people saying, well, why didn't you show Eboo the same energy as, and I'll straight up say it, Airgold, who, by the way, sent me a very heartfelt, sincere apology yesterday, of which I accepted. We're good. And some of you are going to go, well, who the hell is that? He was a gentleman who posted unsourced, uncredited rumors on his Twitter, which came from that Discord. And I had reached out to him, just as I reach out to everybody, to say, well, where's this from? I gotta do my job and verify this. Didn't know it was from your Discord. I'm, you know, doing my best to verify what I can.
And this, you know, this was a gentleman who had shared some untrue stuff in the past. This is why I constantly beat the dead horse of when you're on social media, you have to be responsible. I have been contacted by people in WWE, in AEW, in TNA saying, you know, there are companies that feed information to 1,000 follower accounts because they know it's going to blow up. Like things like that. So you can't say, well, I'm just a media guy. Well, I'm just a Twitter account. Well, I'm just a fan, or that, like that almost in between, of which so many people are involved in. If you are involved in a Discord, like you gentlemen were, if you are a fan account that works towards engagement, like the gentleman that I had a discussion with last week, if you are just a fan, but you are monetizing Twitter and running people's news, the reason you credit and source is not only so the people that report it can reap the benefits, but so if somebody gets it wrong or disseminates harmful or incorrect information, they can also be held accountable. That goes a very long way. In a world where slice wrestling and zero news got followings and people believe their stuff, this stuff is important to do because this does affect real people. As I know, you know, Ibu, I'll be very transparent. I know that you didn't say the things that came out about Jose, the assistant, but mm-hmm. I mean that you know that bothered him and that hurt his feelings.
Aware.
And understandably so. Right. Like, I mean, like,
of course. Look, at the end of the day, that's defamatory. And I don't know the gentleman. I spoke to him, obviously, when this whole thing happened, but I don't know him. I had no plans of pursuing any kind of action towards him because of any of these, you know, accusations of his character. And mm-hmm. So to me, it's like, what is there to gain from even tossing that out there to any kind of audience? And so it was irresponsible and it was wrong. And Jose, if it's not clear, he made this very clear to me privately that he is not a racist. And he says this, he just point blank, period. And look, I don't know the guy. I'll take him at his word. And on behalf of everybody at Selfmade, we apologize to him that his character was called into question.
And I mean, like, you know, there were issues that I had with the follow-up initially, but I spoke mm-hmm. to Ibu and I mean, listen, there were a lot of people saying, oh, well, Ibu didn't actually talk to this person. I can guarantee you, if he said he talked to that person, he did talk to that person. Definitely some things lost in context and tone there, of which I communicated to Ibu, and I did have a lot of people say, oh, well, why didn't you meet it with the same energy as blank? And I'm like, well, ask that person if I reached out to them. The difference is I reached out to Ibu and he was willing to have a conversation. He wasn't just willing to have a conversation. Literally anytime I called throughout this process, he spoke with me. Man was at work and spoke with me. Like,
yeah.
took time out of his day, like to speak with me about this situation. And at no point did I doubt that he felt very regretful for it, because I have not seen anything but sincerity out of him throughout this process. And listen, believe me, if he wasn't, I would be happy to say that he wasn't, because we have let people go from Fightful for similar things years and years ago who were not accountable for, you know, what they said or what they did. And I believe this is something that Ibu can learn from it. It's something that obviously, like I said, will probably follow you. Anything follows people on social media, but you'll have to reestablish trust with some people. But I mean, there are also other people where you'll never win with them.
Yeah.
I know that as well as anybody. There are some people that you'll never win with, but this is an experience of which you needed to grow. You needed to learn. Again, I don't really know the other two gentlemen that were on the show with you. I've had a few interactions with them. I mean, I know AO is incredible at social media, like as far as a garnering traffic element of things, but I can't speak to them or how they've handled it or anything like that. But in my experience, you've handled it
very well in the last, I don't know, 30 hours or so. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, it's not just the elements of misinformation or salacious stories and stuff like that. You got to work to verify things. And you know that, I mean, you have those instincts, and you and I personally have seen people get addicted to this shit.
Yes.
And like, I have had conversations with you and I've said, watch this account. They're getting this information. This is what they will do next, next, next. And you and I have watched as they start reporting things that came out 2 months ago, 2 weeks ago, and slapping their name on it. We have seen them lean into assumptions and things like that. And I don't ever want Fightful to be a part of that. And not only that, someone who is with me live on the air to be about that. And you know that. And again, you have been nothing but genuine in your interactions with me. I hope that those that you have interacted with that feel unfulfilled about it. I know that it does matter to you how they feel. And it does matter to you that, you know, it affected them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You communicated that to me.
Yeah, it does. And that's why, you know, cause again, I've a lot of what I did came, you know, was heavily scrutinized. Right. And I tried to always tell myself that beyond feeling bad for myself about any heat I'm getting, I have to just take into account that ultimately this is what happens when you fuck up, especially if you fuck up with someone in my position with the platform that I have, this is what comes with it. And beyond that, are there going to be like, you know, certain bad faithers or trolls who are, I guess, reveling in this and me being in this spot? Sure. But right now, as I'm talking to Sean, I'm talking not to those people. I'm talking to the normal, reasonable people who were very justifiably just completely thrown off by what happened with me and were very disappointed about it. Those are the people I'm talking to, and there's enough of them to where it warrants addressing live on YouTube on this show. So again, I'm sorry for those of you, I guess, tuning in for a Raw review. I apologize to you guys. You know,
they'll get one. It won't be as analytical as your takes, but listen, I am going to reiterate, like, I am not opposed to working with Ebu in the future. I like him personally. Again, I can't speak to anything else said, done, or anyone involved in that Discord because they are not on Fightful, and that doesn't, you know, that's just where I am on that, and they can speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. And again, I beat the drum of verifying, crediting, sourcing, and how information is disseminated, because it is very easy to forget that the people that you see on a screen, whether it be this screen or your TV screen, they're real people. And it does affect people. And it's easy to think, well, they've got, you know, so and so many people following them or watching them on TV. It can't possibly bother them. It does bother them. It does. And I just want to say, I appreciate you being willing to do that. I mean, I'll say this, Ebu was willing to accept whatever came his way, came his way and address it head on. And I respect that.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, if this spells the end of my entire career in the wrestling space, I'm at peace with knowing that's life sometimes, and you got to just own up to the shit that you cause and create and roll with that. So I'd hope that this is not the last time that this audience ever sees me. But I guess time will tell. And I appreciate Sean for giving me this platform to say what I needed to say.
Well, Ebu, I appreciate you. We will start doing the Raw review. Of course, you guys know where you can keep track of Ebu at. And, you know, I hope that, you know, this speaks to people and they see how sincere that you are, as I have seen how sincere that you are. I've had a lot of people asking, like, what's next for the Raw post show? I don't know. Yeah, I haven't had to look for a co-host in years.
this gentleman was number one on a list that I made, and I was fortunate enough that he accepted that role. And again, this is nothing that he can't recover from. He will reestablish trust for those that lost, that truly believe that they lost it. Because I will say this, there's a lot of bad faith actors taking victory laps. A lot of bad faith people that I see tweeting horrible shit on a daily basis. But there are also some people that I've known and respected for a long time that raised their concerns. I spoke to people on Select about it, and there were a lot of people that gave me very thought out responses, but they were very respectful responses as well. And you were well liked here, and yeah, I just want to say I appreciate you, Ibu, and
thank you, Sean.
And man, people are sending in super chats, humper chats. We're not going to monetize this element of things. I'm sorry, right, guys. We will do that for the Raw review if you want to send in a Raw super chat, humper chat. But Ibu, we definitely how do I I'm not going to try to wish you the best in your future endeavors.
In the here. Future, my future endeavors.
I wish you well in your current endeavors as well.
You're like, how do I sign off without just closing the door? Look, at the end of the day, man.
But I do this, like, see it, like.
I mean, honestly, I just if I was you, God, I would just do a bit. I don't know, folks. I guess pour a glass of wine out for your boy. Hopefully I bounce back. We'll see. Life goes on. You live and learn. I will resurface someday. And I'll tell you what, I appreciate the chat for being very, honestly, very, very fair with me. So I appreciate that. I honestly thought this was going to be a one night stand 2006 situation.
Absolutely not.
I thought it would be, because I in my head, I'm like, I let the Fightful audience down. They're pissed at me. But accountability is important. It just is. It is. And so I'm trying to take it here. And Sean, I appreciate you. And I'm going to literally just walk off camera, and then you could just
get me out.
All right. Okay. Goodbye, everybody.
Ibu, ladies and gentlemen. This will be a definite learning experience for him. And I underwent many of those learning experiences. I still am all the time. Again, to address one element of it, I saw a lot of people say, well, why didn't you give it the same energy as Air Gold, who I was in a space with last week? Well, again, that gentleman apologized to me yesterday. I accepted it. We've moved on. We are good. But in the past, he had disseminated information that was false. I had told him it was false. He left it up, knowing it would and could damage people's careers. And then there were stories of mine that were twisted and affected me, affected that talent, affected their standing with companies. And I had reached out to him many times. Whether you are a fan disseminating misinformation, it can catch fire. I had to debunk a thing from just some random that said, oh, Britt Baker's talked to WWE. And I was like, no, she hasn't. Had 400 retweets on it. 400 retweets on it. The story about Asuka that we broke on Fightful Select today, having her creative disgust didn't have that much. You never know what can catch fire. And that's why, again, these companies will leak to these very low follower accounts, because they know that you don't need to be a Sean Ross Sapp or a Mike Johnson or a Dave Meltzer to make misinformation or disinformation catch fire. So I reach out to engagement accounts, to other media members, to fans who I see posting things that aren't accurate, and make those efforts to say, hey, this is not how this is. And unfortunately, those went ignored, and I won't drag the stuff back up in the space, but I did meet it with the same energy. It's just Ibu was willing to reach out directly and speak with me. And Trey Gibson can confirm that. I do that as well. Corey Hayes says the same thing. But not only was Ibu willing to talk to me about it, he was willing to be fully accountable about it. And I was encouraging him to reach out to people. And then those people already had contacted me and said, he's reached out to me as well. Now, some of them weren't necessarily satisfied with the interactions, but I think as time goes on, those amends will hopefully be made. And
Yeah, but accuracy and credibility to the maximum level of which we can provide is very important to me. I think that anybody that follows Fightful Select knows that by now. They know how seriously I take that. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to move on from that. I'm going to do the one ad read that I am scheduled for, and then we're just going to do a straight Raw review. No ads, no plugs, no nothing. But I just want to thank you guys. I know that that's what a lot of you didn't want to tune in for, all that crap. but I just want to say that I appreciate you guys. How many times have you seen it? A big name wrestler gets hacked. They're trying to sell PlayStations or something on their Twitter. They need that NordVPN.com/Fightful. Not just for that, but all their sensitive files, their storyline information, their pitches, their private documents. You want NordVPN.com/Fightful to protect you when you're on the road or when you're at home. When you're at home, you can put it on your router. It protects everything. You can put it on your phone, laptop, desktop, PC. But on the road, whether you're at the hotel connecting to that Wi-Fi, the airport connecting to that Wi-Fi, the event center even, you want to have some protection for your devices, and NordVPN.com/Fightful does that. In addition, you shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on that public Wi-Fi, secure every device you own, and add extra layers of security to your digital life, in addition to all the great features we tell you about all the time. They also have 24/7 support if you need that help. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
WWE Monday Night Raw. Let's go ahead and talk about it. Man, this is a fun show. There's a lot of little tea leaves, right? There's a lot of little things that they're teasing, that they're hinting at, that may or may not even happen. So let's jump into it. I'm going to pull up the document from our great moderator, Luis. If you're here, leave a thumbs up on this video, comment on the video. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We have a whole bunch of backstage behind the scenes news. Let's talk about FightfulSelect.com very quickly. By the end of the week, it'll be the best $6 a month in the business, $64 a year. If you sign up for a year before the end of the month, you are going to be able to lock it in at $54 a year. Today alone, we had news that Asuka's creative has been discussed for a return. Don't know exactly when she's going to be back, but that it's being discussed. We had the Raw Scoops thread, including your official WWE Raw cover athlete, which our dude Corey Brennan hit us with. It was Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman, which we'll speak about later. And we had confirmation, a big one. We got the super chat right here. KE775 says, have you heard if Jordynne Grace will be NXT or she main roster bound? Pretty cool. WWE made her a high priority. The main roster needs her. Listen, there are some depth issues now on the main roster, and that will be gotten to, so to speak. Like we will discuss that. But I will look into that. I think it should be on the main roster. So Fightful Select reported that Jordynne Grace signed not just a multi-year deal. She signed it almost immediately after her Tessa Blanchard match. WWE had made the overture a couple weeks prior. I know some people will scream, oh, contract tampering. Listen, they got a partnership with TNA. She had made it known to TNA that she was going to be hitting the bricks anyway. So like it wasn't like that. You know what I mean? But they did not want her to get to free agency. Like, I don't think that she was going to go to AEW, but they didn't want to run the risk of her hitting free agency, which I think is, it speaks volumes. It speaks volumes. I don't know if she'll be in Indianapolis. She was in Orlando last week. They got that deal done, and she is a part of the WWE roster now. So FightfulSelect.com. Go there, get your scoops. We're going to have stuff all week. I've got a list, I think it is, that's going to drop this week. I had somebody in our Discord come up with this idea, and I thought it was really good. They said, hey, can you go through a list of like injured people, maybe some legends, maybe some people that will be in town, and tell us, is there a realistic possibility they'll be on the Royal Rumble, at the Royal Rumble, or is it even possible? So we will have that on Fightful Select this week as well. I'm going to do a Q&A of some sorts. But if you want to get questions and statements in right now, send a super chat or go to humperchats.com. If you have sent a super chat about what we just discussed, I am going to donate that to a worthy cause. I just want to say this as well. Ibu didn't mention this because, of course, he's not. Immediately upon doing that and me reaching out to him, he's like, you know what? I feel like I should donate my pay to a cause of which one of these people affected deems necessary, like a charity that one of them prefers, which I need to get in touch with them about. But listen, I really admire that approach as well. One Struggle Radio, you didn't send a chat in on this, but I'll have Luis look for your comment and he'll add it to the document. BK11648 says, was Roman Reigns supposed to be on the show? Not having him there after the segment on Netflix premiere is weird. So let's talk about that element of it. Roman Reigns. They clearly teased it on the Raw premiere. They brought up the date. I know that they just had the 2K logo, but why didn't you say, like, maybe you can handle this for me, wise man? Instead of alluding to the fact that he would be there. That seems a little bit off to me, right? Like, that seems a little bit like you couldn't have had him there for that. Ulysses says, Ibu, I think you've handled this fallout with all class. Chin up, keep doing good work. Believe in you. And LA says, shout out to Ibu and Wrestle Purist. I suffer from mental health and depression. Your spaces and YouTube vids made me smile when it seems impossible. Again, we will donate all these. And our good friend Alyssa says, I hope all the drama in the IWC this week has taught everyone involved and not involved a lesson to respect SRS and Ibu for addressing the situation and taking action. The reaction to adversity shows true character. I sincerely appreciate that, and that means a lot, especially coming from you, Alyssa. Meet Normus says, I was at the 2019 Raw Go Home to Mania with Becky, Chaz, that's short for Charlotte, and Ronda smashing police cars. What a segment that was. What a Go Home segment that was. Says, you know, when Go Home shows were men, this wasn't for me. Oh, I thought this Go Home segment was a hamper. Buddies. Sir Brendo says, loving all the shows on Netflix. All hail the Nord. Yeah, that Nord is a winner, my friends. It's a winner. We got Kai Sen. Listen, I apologize. I hope I'm pronouncing this gentleman's name correctly. Kai Cenat going to the Rumble. There's going to be other Rumble surprises that are going to pop up there as well. But Ryan says, do you think there's a chance that Mako Satomura is at the Rumble, or do you think she's already had her WWE retirement match in Japan? I hope they bring her over for it. I don't know if they will, but I think it'd be a nice thing to do. Give her a run in there if she wants to. Show some respect. And I feel like this regime is far more likely to do that than the previous regime. You know what I mean? Like they have been going out of their way to show a lot more respect to their legends, highlight them on TV, get them bookings. They do a lot in that sense. Do I think Becky comes back Saturday? Initially, I thought it was a lock, but now I suspect Saturday is Charlotte's day and they save her for Raw after Mania. Well, FightfulSelect.com, we confirmed a report from the dude at WrestleVotes. He had reported a while back that Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte was discussed for WrestleMania. That is accurate. It is being discussed for WrestleMania, and that could lead you to deduce one thing, right? That Charlotte is a front runner for the Royal Rumble. Fightful meetup in Indy. I'll tell you why I've never done this. I don't want to be the lonely Virgil meme. All due respect to Virgil. Let's crank. But when my good friend Zach Schimmel of our Fightful Select Discord helped organize it in our Discord and basically just was like, hey, let's just meet up before this show at the site of the show. And like, I think like 30, 40 people showed up at this impromptu thing. I did that and I you know, was very happy to do that. I love meeting you guys. Met a Fightful reader at the barber shop today. That was pretty cool. Seth Rollins promo. He's interrupted by Gunther and then later Logan Paul. I like this. Like they are leaning into everything. Obviously, Seth Rollins is going to be a person that is speculated to be competing for a top segment or a top title, top prizes in top roles on the show. So you got to lean into that possibility.
And Gunther's like, where have you been the last few months? I've been waiting for you to challenge me. You've been off dicking around with CM Punk, worrying about him, letting him get under your skin. Not me. I don't let people do that. He was on it. On it. And then Logan Paul came out. And they announced that it would be the debut of Logan Paul. Now, here's the issue I have with that. They said Logan Paul is going to be a full-timer. And then he didn't show up for like 4 weeks. Now, maybe that's the element of heat that that it's supposed to draw. Like, well, they said this guy was a full-timer and he's not a full-timer. Like, maybe that's what they're after. And he got heat. Wouldn't you love to kick back with a great cigar, especially during that cool evening weather? It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch a game, or enjoy a nice evening outside. When it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is the go-to. They've got everything. Whether you're looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoint. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, the biggest selection, and they have unbeatable deals and discounts. And we've got one for you here. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. They've got fast shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders, $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For this segment. And I love that Gunther popped both of them. Because he was like, I've changed my mind. I want to kick this guy's ass so bad. But I love the way that this played out. Logan Paul saying something actually very smart that maybe somebody in the chat, by the way, drop your fruit emojis. Maybe they can remind me if anybody else has said it. He's like, I don't know why everybody says they got to eliminate 29 people. That's grunt work. All I got to do is eliminate one person. And it's like, well, yeah, that's true. It's very true. I like this segment. I thought Logan Paul was great in it as well. KE775 says, what do you think Seth is doing at Mania? I think you said you heard he won't be facing Gunther. That's not true. I said that I heard as of November, it wasn't discussed as the plan. In November, the plans were Cody Cena, Roman Punk, Bianca Rhea, which FightfulSelect.com broke last week, and Tiffany Charlotte was developed along the way. I hadn't heard anything about Seth's plans, actually. Vicky says, hi, SRS. Nice to meet Ibu. Can we not have Logan win the Rumble? Love the ending with Cody and Punk. Am I getting a seed for a Cody turn? Thoughts? Oh, so I'm going to have Luis apply this to the last segment on the show, because that's something that I want to talk about. But I think there's a decent chance Logan could win the Rumble. And DDD says, have you heard anything about him winning the Rumble? Second time they've teased him and Gunther. Hope he doesn't win it. It would definitely be something that got some attention, right? Definitely got attention. Cogged CG says, Cena isn't on Raw full-time. What gives? He is nailed down for 30-something dates throughout this year. So the less dates he does right now, the more he's going to do throughout the middle and late part of the year. He's filming something right now. Cog CG says, oh, by the way, if Cena wins that title, they got to sell throwback jerseys with the 17 on it. Cog CG says every Raw story on Raw is intertwined in a week out, even if it's getting clear who the last four and five might be. I can't tell who's winning. It's crazy. I love it. They're doing a really good job of weaving all this stuff and making you go, well, what is this person going to think about that? How are they going to react to this? I think that's very important to do. The Bloodline really, like, beyond it being a very lengthy, you know, dominant feud, it set the table for a lot of other creative. So even if he didn't like it during those 4 years, it certainly set the table and created an awful lot of conflict and forgiveness that maybe would, or that not maybe, likely would not have been there unless this happened. Backstage, we see CM Punk. He's saying he's going to throw everybody over the top rope. Sammy was like, all right, what'd you say last week? Say it to my face. And then CM Punk says it directly to his face. I'll tell you who I love. Karrion Kross. Why is he a bad guy again? This man literally just runs around telling the truth. Karrion Kross rules as a character. How is he a bad guy? Man just tells the truth and people can't stand him for it. He is the example of you can't handle the truth. He is just out there being honest. And really, that's what some of the best heels in wrestling have been doing of late. They've just been honest. They've just been telling the truth. You know, outside of him doing the occasional sneak attack and the like, man's just being honest. And I respect it. I respect it. We also had Cody show up as well. We'll talk more about him later. Oh, man, let's talk about this absolute humper of a tag title match. War Raiders defeated Dominic and JD McDonough. Listen, we bust balls about JD McDonough's head size and all that stuff. I'm not even going to pull the graphic up. This man put on during this match. Cracked the desk. Corey Brennan asked about his status. He did get checked on. Triple H checked on him a bunch. Michael Hayes made a joke of, is the desk okay? But JD came back from that nasty spot and had a phenomenal showing in this match. War Raiders won, by the way. Dominic is a guy who has went from, should he even be a wrestler, to indispensable pro wrestling performer. This guy has come along and delivered. Come along and delivered. And the War Raiders, waiting for an opportunity, or have been waiting for an opportunity that they finally got. And guess what happened when they got it? You make people interested in the tag team division. You have a match that on the surface, a lot of people probably weren't like, oh, I'm so pumped for this. Even though the ingredients involved are entertaining and can go in the ring. And they had the crowd chanting, this is awesome. Love it. Love it. Dominic's doing some media this week. I'm going to have a whole bunch more notes on Royal Rumble week, producers, writers on Fightful Select on Tuesday. They killed it tonight. Off the Top Media says, between what he does on TV and Twitter, Kross is my favorite at the moment. He's one of those guys that's getting over so well outside the ring. Like he is. He's so like charming and interesting and and really cunning on social media as well. So well. Also, I want to say this. Seeing JD do it's basically a short arm belly to back suplex where he pulls, I think it was Ivar, off the second rope and then spins around the Devlin inside. Ooh, what a great spot, especially after what he went through, especially to a guy that size. Phenomenal. I'll ask our moderator, Luis, please take Vicky's chat and put it on the main event. New Lack City says, Eboo, real ones appreciate you owning up instead of doubling down and becoming a deranged person for the troll crowd. You'll be fine. Just keep moving the right way. Hope to see you back here soon. Hey, shout out to Tim Traver and Evil Diva for becoming Fightful YouTube members. I post a few different videos there a month. Sometimes you get early access to some interviews. Sometimes you get some behind the scenes footage as well. Ah, Penta video. He's going to be in the Rumble. This video was dope, man. This video ruled. Like, as I looked on the rundown, I didn't see him on the rundown. I was like, that's kind of a bummer. But, whew, this one got me hyped up, man. Like, and plus him in the Rumble, he's going to have a good showing. He's going to do this a bunch. He's going to have some cool moments, eliminate some people. It's going to go really well for him in that Royal Rumble. And so far, it's going really well for him in WWE. He had a backstage interaction with Bron Breakker, like, please give me that. Please give me that Intercontinental title feud. Move me, all due respect to Ludwig Kaiser and Sheamus, wonderful performers. Move me away from Bron Breakker and them. It's happened too much. But, yeah, I am all in on this. We have a Rhea interview interrupted by Bayley, who said, you know, last year I won the Royal Rumble. Maybe this year I'll face you. And then Io shows up, says, I'll see you Saturday. They've got plenty of history as well. Rhea put over Nia Jax, what she was able to do to her this weekend. This was a good way to just get people's faces on screen and then say, yeah, by the way, I'm in the Rumble and I haven't forgotten about you. This is the type of thing that I think that WWE is doing really well right now. Stories that maybe you forgot about or maybe weren't hammered home as much. And they're just reminding you, oh, by the way, these two had months-long feuds going on. These people haven't forgotten about one another, so don't forget about them. I think that's great, and then you can refer to it. DNC Digital says, I can't send super chats. Listen, I don't know how to make that work, but you can go to humperchats.com and send them. And yeah. That's, if you ever have trouble sending super chats, just go over to humperchats.com. Got some super chats and humper chats now. Mr. Showtime says, Zelina to SmackDown for Andrade or a returning Malakai? I hope it's a returning Malakai. Like, Zelina has been featured with LWO and all that stuff, but I would like to see Zelina doing something more, like more Malakai influence. You know what I mean? Like, if he's coming back to WWE, I would like to see that. I think she could probably pull that off really well. I mean, listen, I can't pretend that I'm super familiar with the stuff that Zelina does outside of WWE, but I mean, seems very interested in, I mean, Gear of the Year winner for Fightful. So cares about the look and presentation of her gear. Like, if they tasked her with, hey, we need you to match this aesthetic, I bet she would do it, kill it, and do really, really well on that. She's always had good delivery too. Oh, good old Peter Dunn and Ludwig Kaiser are backstage talking some shit. And New Day come up and they're like, yeah, man, we know what you're talking about. And they're like, you can't sit with us, buddy. I like that these two dastardly heels, much like Dominic, much like everybody else, they're like, no, we don't mess with you, buddy. Like, no, we don't want any part of the stuff that you did, because even that was too far. Like, even a month later, they're like, this is too far. Gosh, a couple months later now. Somebody says, Peter who? Peter Dunn. That's his name. Rey Mysterio defeated Xavier Woods. There was a story within a story here. Now, Rey wins last week. He wins this week. I love this segment for so many reasons. First off, solid match. You knew it was going to be. Xavier's in his hometown. And... you know, there was always the thing, especially in the Vince era of WWE, where it was people get buried in their hometown. But what I think is satisfying is when a performer gets to have their special performance in their hometown. From a personal perspective, I wrestled at GCW in Louisville, not exactly my hometown, but my home state. And I had not been able to perform against people that I loved there. Winning the match wouldn't have done anything for me, because I knew that crowd wanted to hate me. Being booed in front of like that and getting a good reaction in that manner, that was important to me. Xavier got to go out in front of his family, his friends, and show that he gets heat as well as anybody in front of them. And oh, it was really good. They showed the reserve for Xavier's family. They weren't there. They show up late. They've got New Day Sucks on. Oh, which, by the way, was the launch of the new New Day Sucks shirts. And then they literally launched one into his face. Got phenomenal reactions and heat for that. It was a really, really good segment. Plus, it gets Rey Mysterio a win, who is a living legend with ridiculous stem cell knees. This dude's still out there doing sunset flip power bombs and code reds at his age. Phenomenal. Great piece of business. Great piece of business. I don't know necessarily what the big payoff is for the New Day thing. I don't know where it's necessarily going, because I don't think that Big E is coming out of retirement or anything like that. But if the payoff is just, well, they've got great heat from now on, I'm cool with that too, because it made them infinitely more interesting. It gave them, you know, so much more to talk about, to do. And people are saying, will they ever reunite with Big E? They will absolutely reunite with Big E. Because, listen, Big E didn't want this to happen. Big E was still showing them love. He wanted the embrace, the hug from them. So I think that it will happen. Is the Nikki Bella return run in WWE true? It's been discussed. It has been discussed. I don't know to what extent, and I haven't heard anything about Brie either. Ah, man. Ryan says, Sean, any update on Alexa Bliss's WWE status? Reports claim that she is at a contract impasse, wants a brand new deal. WWE want her on her current deal. I can't speak to what she wants, but WWE had discussed bringing her back recently. And I'll have more on how it affects other things this week, hopefully this week. But there were definitely discussions to bring her back. I don't know where that stands at this moment. I had heard she had time left on her deal. I also don't know how maternity leave works on that deal. I don't know if they just let that tick, if they count that against the deal, or if they try to count that against the deal. I can certainly find out, or at least find out how it has been in other instances. But yeah. Also, yeah. Big E on the new Spider-Man cartoon. Hell yeah. Good things happening to good people. You love to see it. Lyra Valkyria is in the Rumble. So is Ivy Nile, who also wants an IC title shot. And listen, I love Ivy Nile, but book her to win some goddamn matches. That's how I want to see people get an IC title shot. Book her to win some matches. Book her to win a squash. Something. Show us what she did on Main Event. Something. Why not? Have a dark match before the show, then show her choking out some donk. Anything. Have her win some matches. Isn't that what these are for? Here's the thing. WWE clearly didn't want to slot like Chelsea, Michin, and the world title champion thing. And then they get a non-title program and they go, damn, this is good. Wow, they get a real story, a match, a payoff. They even had time cut from their stuff. And they still killed it. They still did great. And made people interesting. Or made their program interesting. And they're like, well, we got to do a title for this. We got to do that. And now we're going to have feuds where nobody gets wins leading up to it. Just give her some wins. That's all. That's all. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We would greatly appreciate you guys doing that. Hey, guys, don't post comments about any goofy little other Twitter dramas and shit. I'm leaving all that stuff in the past. I got Royal Rumble this week. We spoke about the Ibu thing. I'm not trying to dredge up any other stuff with any of the Air Gold gentleman apologized. We are good now. That's in the past. He understood my side. And I accept that. Anybody else that's continuing stuff like that at this point are picking fights with their own imagination. Justin Starr says, how was Vegas, Sean? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Somebody says, telling people what not to post. Cool, bye. Yeah, goodbye. See ya. Don't come back. We're good. Justin Starr says, how was Vegas, Sean? It was exhausting. I was very fortunate to get to go. So I told you I had mentioned this. The tourism board was like, you know what? There's some wrestling fans that probably don't know about Meow Wolf Omega Mart or Atomic Saloon, which was wild. It's like if the Attitude Era did like a Western, like futuristic Western stage show. It was nuts. We did like Top Golf. We did like a mini golf thing. There was lots of cool stuff. Allegiant Stadium. I'm sitting there the morning of Pete Carroll rumors and dude just rolls by in a golf cart. And I was like, did I just really see that? It was a fun experience. It was a very fun experience. I'm going to write something up about it soon, but boy, that itinerary was loaded. I needed some downtime, but I got to go to like this. Today is my late grandmother's birthday. It's my first one without her. And while I was there, and honestly, the reason I agreed to go, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to her favorite casino. It'll make me feel a little bit closer to her. So that was pretty cool. That was worth the trip in itself because that's something that means something to me. But thank you for asking. Bianca Belair versus Liv Morgan and Raquel. I heard, actually Corey heard, there was a spot that was supposed to happen towards the end of this match that didn't end up happening. I'm going to work to find that out. So the match is fine enough. Got no problems with the match itself and how it was executed. I don't like the booking of that. And it goes back to, oh God. You could use it against me, the fact that I just said, oh, I would love Ivy Nile to get some wins before she gets a title match. Yeah, but I don't want her to beat the champion to get a title match. So the finish is Dom getting involved in his girls' matches again. And I'm like, oh, God, man. Like, listen, we had that forever with Rhea Ripley. We had that forever with Liv Morgan and the world title there. And I'm like, are we going to get it in the tag division as well? And for how long? It's the same thing. I don't need to see that after I've seen it for like two, how many years now? Has Dominic been getting involved in women's title programs? I do not need to see it. Do not need to see it. Do not need to continue with that. If they win the tag titles, I would love Adam Pearce to be like, hey, yo, so now that you've won these, he can't be involved ever in this. I think that you got to do something to freshen that up. Because just switching it over to the tag team division, that ain't doing it for me. That ain't doing it for me. And again, I don't really like the champions losing in order to go to a title match. I never liked, like, you know, sometimes the champions got to compete in non-title matches, right? But like other tag teams can't get on this show. Natalya ain't on this show. Isla and Alba ain't on this show. Katana and Kayden aren't on this show. Like, I just don't get it. Just don't get it. There are other teams. Don't do something different. Lucy says, what dispensary did you hit in Vegas? None. Listen, first off, I wouldn't know how that process works. I mean, it's completely legal in Vegas, right? I don't know how that process works, but I would not have had time to have done that. I would have, we were loaded from wake to sleep there. DNC Digital says Rumble or predictions on Rumble Iron Men and Iron Women, first two entrants, final fours. So I think final four will be Punk, Reigns, Drew, Cena. Oh my God, that would leave out like Seth. Oh, it's going to be so good, man. First two entrants. Sammy. I'd like it to be Sammy and Roman. It won't be, but I'd like it to be. First two women's entrants. Bayley and Liv would be cool. Final four on the women's. Charlotte. I have nothing to tell me that Becky's coming back, but I'll say Charlotte, Becky, Bayley, and then throw a random in there. Iron Men and Iron Women. I think Liv will be the Iron Woman again. I think that should be her thing, that she is the Iron Woman. Even if she doesn't win it, I think that should be like, kind of her thing, is that she makes it like that. Sami Zayn probably for the men would be a good one. I feel like the Iron Man and Iron Woman should be something that really helps you. You really helps your profile. You know what I mean? Also, I like the Tana bomb on the apron from Raquel. Good stuff. With all the talent WWE has, do you know if there are discussions about expanding the Rumble to a 40-man? I have not heard that discussed. It didn't go well when they did it. Luis says, in my opinion, the Iron Man should be Penta. You know what? I don't disagree with that at all. 2K25 reveal. Got the Heyman promo. He talks about leading the one. And the one is the one true tribal chief, Roman Reigns. He's not there, though. He's not there. He ain't show up. Bad Robot says, probably nothing, but kind of interesting. The Rock isn't on the cover of the Bloodline version of 2K. Sammy is even there. That cover is great. It's a wonderful cover. It really is. Team Endeavor says Roman comes in at number one and eliminates 29 guys. You wish. You wish. My God. I can just see her in the press room or the press box screaming for that. But, it is probably nothing about The Rock. I mean, he's on the board of the company. So it's fine. But Drew McIntyre interrupts and he talks about how he sort of birthed the Bloodline as Demon Divas throwing up her ones. Demon Divi, do you agree with that? Did Roman Reigns or did Drew McIntyre birth the Bloodline? Is he the daddy of the Bloodline? Because it was him that started the Roman Reigns villain origin story, not the chair in the back or any of that stuff. It was that. And then he also sends a little message to Paul Heyman's friend. And he's like, by the way, I don't mean Roman Reigns. I mean CM Punk. Again, you're weaving it in and around there. We got Drew versus Sami Zayn. It's a killer match. You know it's going to be a killer match. They got a lot of time here. It's always interesting to look at the formats for WWE Raw that we get now, because a lot of the backstage stuff isn't listed on the formats, and the segments are so different now. Segments used to be broken up on these things where, like, if I said, oh, this is scheduled for two segments, that meant it was there's going to be two commercial breaks involved. But now the commercial breaks are adjusted a little bit differently. Netflix allows them to do it in a different manner. Yeah, it's just one of those things that they have a little bit more flexibility with. And it really helped this match for me. Again, I watch on NordVPN.com/Fightful. So I don't have those. But this one was really, really cooking. Sammy got busted open and Drew wins with his feet on the ropes. And after that, it leads to this phenomenal segment, which, by the way, Sammy and Seth met backstage, right? Again, the weaving of all this stuff, like, I don't even know where it ends, because you got The Rock off doing his own shit. You got Roman here. Then you got Jay and Jimmy. Jay, who came out, I can't remember who he came out with earlier, but he had like a a bit of a pep talk. He just pepped up the crowd. You've got the new bloodline and what they're doing. And then it's like, oh yeah, well, Cody's always affiliated. Seth's always affiliated. Drew is still mad at them. KO is mad at these people for helping Roman. And he still hates Cody because of it. And then here's Sammy involved as well. It really set WWE up for an awful lot of stuff. And Jey Uso's with Quavo. It really set the entire company up to have natural and sensible conflict where you would be like, okay, well, yeah, it makes sense that this person is more forgiving. And it makes sense that this person isn't. And it makes sense that this person is mad that this person is forgiving, or at least they're feigning that they're not. Brilliant. Somebody says, people asking about Brock, he has not even been discussed. Has not even been discussed. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. New Lack City says, not sure I'm sold on Roman as a face moving forward. That Heyman promo was very heelish. They need to tread carefully now that the bloodline story is over. Why are all the heels truth tellers and the faces are hypocrite phonies? That is an interesting thing. Like, you could argue that it's forgiveness, or you could argue that they're weak and flimsy for forgiving these people that ruined and affected their careers for years at a time. Meanwhile, a lot of the heels are steadfast in saying, like, no, I don't forget. They treated me horribly. So I could certainly see that. So after the Drew McIntyre match, he attacks Sammy. Cody makes the save. Kevin Owens shows up. And Sammy accidentally hits a Helluva kick on Cody. And Cody's recovering. He got walloped with that thing, too. Walloped with it, bro. And that is another seed, because we haven't seen a whole lot of Cody and Sammy. But then Sammy got the hell out of there. KO was like, hell yeah, bro. Hell yeah, bro. And Cody cuts his promo and is interrupted by CM Punk, and he looks so dejected. He looks so dejected. And I love the way this all played out, because who knows? Maybe they'll turn Cody into the, you know, the Cena that never turns heel, right? Never, ever, ever turns heel. But if they do, oh, do they have a great end. You have CM Punk saying, I'm your friend and I've been in your position. And you're about to hit day 300 as world champion. And I remember when I hit day 300, it made me a person that I didn't want to be, made me lose friends. And I see you losing an awful lot of friends. And he brought up Dusty. And he said, you know, I'll always be your friend largely because of a promise I made to your father. And you see Cody just like hit him with one of those, right? And not to fantasy book something involving his, you know, his late father, but one day that man just might get a little bit tired of people evoking his father's name or using his father's name for clout, especially in promos with him to justify some stuff that they want or they want to do or trying to finger wag him. And it's nice that we are in at least the WWE landscape where that is a thing that we can see that realistically could happen. And I think the audience might actually understand it and, you know, it might babyface him in that regard. Like, damn, bro, stop bringing up my dad. It's okay if I do, but why are you? I could see that happening. There were a lot of like really nice lines in here where Cody said they kept each other from leaving. And CM Punk's like, I'm your friend. I'm not going to stab you in the back. I'll stab you right in the front. I'm going to win the Royal Rumble and face you at WrestleMania. And of course, this has people pumped, right? We got Steven saying Cody versus Punk segment hit hard. I want Punk and Cody, says Tony Randazzo. Roman and Punk could be fun, but brother, Cody and Punk looks like fun. It does. I just don't think you can go to, like, you could go to Cena and Gunther for sure. You know, the American Patriot champion and Gunther, like very 1990s feel to it. Then it's like, what does Roman do? Well, a lot of people might say Jacob Fatu or something like that. At one point, I believe Rollins was discussed for him. I think that there's an awful lot of stuff on the table. But isn't that a fun part of it, that they do have a lot of options because of how well they have weaved this stuff and how well they did prepare this and how wide open the Royal Rumble is? Drew is still out there, as somebody pointed out. Drew is an option. Oh, man. Cody drops a phenomenal line. He's like, our dynamic changed because I'm not chasing you, you're chasing me. And by the way, I hope you catch me and win the Royal Rumble. Damon says, Cody Lander. Mr. Acosta, you know what happened to Punk around day 300 of his 434-day reign? He'll turn, baby. Is the 434 group, you know, I see them aggregate a lot of stuff on Facebook. Is that based off of that number, that title reign? I wonder. It says, heel turn, baby, on The Rock on Raw 1000. Man, go back and watch The Rock on Raw 1000. He took one jumping clothesline from CM Punk, and he sold it like he got just blasted with a shotgun. He was down there, like, convulsing and was like, ah. And I'm like, damn, why didn't CM Punk just clothesline him a couple times and pin him in their match? Mr. Costa says, no, I want this match and Cody as a heel. Oh, man. Like, yes, I said he had drool coming out of his mouth. He was. He looked like Mee Chin in that segment where she was just shaking, man, like where she was just running around. He had it. Looked like Devon Dudley selling literally anything. Alyssa says, do we reckon Cody and Punk is more of a red herring or looking like it could be the actual direction? There is still this whole Paul Heyman owes Punk a favor carrot dangling. I wonder the level of the favor, Alyssa, of which Punk feels that Heyman owes him. Because we know that he's not above getting some help to do anything, right? Like, it ain't going to be, well, Roman's got to help me eliminate somebody from the Rumble or help me win the title or anything like that. But that's a thing. Like, how big of a favor are we talking here, right? I think WWE is doing a great job of making you go like, damn, is that really what they're going to do? Or are they going to do this other thing? Because right now, Roman isn't around to lean into a program, right? So it's easy for us to say right now, well, CM Punk and Cody, but Roman ain't there. He's just not there. One Struggle Radio says, just to say I love the Cody and CM Punk promo. Go Birds, blow the whistle. Listen, I'm hoping the Eagles win. Hoping that the Eagles win. Cameron Penny says, after that Cody Punk segment, I want that at Mania. Certainly understandable. That is definitely a big match that they got to do at some point. Gotta. Vicky had said the seeds for the Cody turn. I think I addressed that one there. Orion says AJ Lee in the Rumble. I don't know about her physical condition. And by that, I mean like her previous injuries, but man, that woman always looks like she's ready to go in the ring, but I haven't heard anything. Jumanji Hunter says 10 minutes for women's Rumble build, 3 minutes for men. That is a fair point. That is a fair, it wasn't 3 hours. It was like, listen, it's like 2 hours, 20 minutes. But you're right. You are absolutely right. And there is a disparity there. There is certainly a disparity there that I think should be adjusted and addressed. And if you treat the underneath feuds of the women like they mean something, the audience will you know, believe that they mean something. Guys, I just want to thank you all so much. I'm going to make sure that, you know, super chats, humper chats, everything that happened got read because... Listen, there were a lot that came in. One Struggle Radio, you saw that one, or Luis saw that one. Big thank you there. Guys, I'm going to hop off of here. I just want to say I'll be doing a Q&A show some point this week. I want to thank Luis. I want to thank Ibu for coming on here and being so candid about that situation. And I want to thank our audience. Like, listen, I know you all don't like to deal with silly Twitter bullshit. And I know that I partake in an awful lot of silly Twitter bullshit. And I'm going to work to do better at that because I just want to report some news, do my job, and chat about wrestling with you guys and get you guys as much info as I can. Speaking of that info, did an interview with PCO, lasts about an hour. He explains to you why the TNA relationship failed or broke apart and why he smashed their title belt with a sledgehammer. I also interviewed Francine for almost an hour. That was today. She is wonderful. I can't wait to do more with her. DNC Digital sends us another one. Says, any info on how the locker room received McDonald when he came back? I would imagine there were many there to check on him with a round of applause. At least what Corey heard was that Triple H checked on him. They got him checked by a doctor. He said he was okay. I don't know about the status of the doctor, but Triple H was said to have been checking on him quite a bit. At least by Corey. But yeah, I will work to find out more on that as much as I can. And we got Pat Faruga dropping a big one saying, you think WWE or AEW would ever run the Budokan? Thanks, SRS and Fightful. Maybe AEW with New Japan. Maybe WWE, but they would have to have a major, major, major Japanese star. I don't think that they would anytime soon. But maybe in the future as like a novelty thing. But I think that also AEW is happy to sort of delegate some of that stuff to where New Japan thinks that they should go. But Pat, thank you so much for the Super Chat and Humper Chat. That's a very interesting question. I mean, the Budokan is obviously a legendary, legendary venue. But I've never heard anybody in either company discuss it and say, you know what, we got to go to the Budokan. Also, worth noting, Carmelo Hayes attacks Cody Rhodes after WWE Raw declares for the Rumble. Thank you all so much. This has been a pretty wild week, and I just want to thank all of you that support us and subscribe to Fightful Select and show us love. Until next time, my friends. We're out. Whenever I click the end button.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI. And a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.